Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. And if that sounds familiar, it's the same passage that the Paul so nicely read in lighting the Advent candle. And that's what this morning's sermon is based on, too. So that's Matthew 24, starting at verse 36, page 1413 in your pew Bible. Hear the word of God. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. Dear people of God, there is always someone who is not ready. Does this sound familiar? You ever say on Saturday night, I want you to be ready by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning? I'm tired of waiting for you every Sunday morning. I'm tired of getting to church late and we got to sit in the front row. Every house has one of these, a straggler. Others are leaving, they're just getting out of bed. Two of my sisters worked at the same factory, Harvey Woods, for a number of years when they were still living at home. They rode to work together. Hazel would be in the car, the engine running, blowing the horn. Wilma is still in bed. Heed the warning. Sometime this morning, there's going to be a loud trumpet blast. Don't be surprised. Be ready. Don't be a dawdler. Be prepared. This is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent, the anticipation of celebrating Jesus' birthday. There are four Sundays of preparation. Why four? So we'll be ready come Christmas to celebrate what it's really all about and not miss the significance of the celebration. We first need to be ready to celebrate his first coming. And of course, we have a real advantage here because we know when that is. We celebrate that on December the 25th. Really, really easy to remember. And I say without any reservation, it is very important to celebrate Jesus' birth. But remember, it is a commemoration. A commemoration is remembering a past event. And of course, we do this every year. The routines get pretty familiar. We ask each other things like this. Are you ready for Christmas? Have you got your shopping done? Doing a lot of baking this year? Are the kids coming home? You got your outdoor lights up? And you're like, no, I should have done it when the weather was still good, but I always wait till it's cold and rainy. And then putting up the tree inside and other decorations. Of course, you got to buy some gifts. But what is it that we are getting ready for? You ever think it through past just all the things we do? What is it we're getting ready for? Why do we do these things? Another way to ask that is, what are the standards for celebrating Christmas at your home? What are the standards? Are they reflections of bigger things? Or have they just become kind of their own entity? things like, well, yeah, the family gets together, and we exchange some gifts, and we have a big meal, and maybe watch the Christmas Day parade, and check the flyers to see if there's any good after Christmas sales. That's always a big deal. And then there's time off from work, some from school. But I ask again, what is the focus of Christmas, the celebration of Christmas in your home? What is the focus? What gives importance to your Christmas celebration? And I want to highlight two specific points to celebrate at Christmas. First, Jesus' birthday. That's the obvious one, right? That's the simple one. That's the focus. We celebrate his birth, and we need to acknowledge who he is. We need to acknowledge who this one is whose birth we're celebrating, that he is really God incarnate. And that's not a word we often use, but it describes who he is, fully God and fully human. And that's a concept we really can't get our minds around. You know, we could say if a Dutch guy marries an Italian, then their kids are half Dutch, half Italian. Not that I'm recommending this, but that's what we would say, right? They're half Dutch, half Italian. God incarnate means that Jesus was 100% human and 100% God. And then it's like, well, how does that work? That's where we can't get our minds around that. The mystery of God, fully human. And then that name, Emmanuel, God with us. There is no other God in all of mythology that has ever reached down to be with the people. The people always had to do stuff to try to earn God's favor. We have a God, a real God, who spoke everything into being and now says, you know what? I want to be in such an intimate relationship with you that I'm coming down to earth to live amongst you so that you get some sense of who I am and who the Heavenly Father is. Because what does Jesus teach? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's an amazing thing. What a plan. What a promise. I include myself in this question. Are you still amazed by this? Yeah, we hear this every year, Advent. Sometimes they do love, joy, peace, hope. Other times they have a different theme. And it's so familiar that we almost, I hate to say this, we almost get bored by it. And that is really frightening. It's frightening to me myself that the God who created the universe would become one of us, and I'm kind of yawning, saying, yeah, I know. I've heard this before. I've heard it since I was this big. Is your heart prepared? How are you preparing for this? Is there room in your heart for him? See, the story goes way beyond the baby in the manger. See, the baby in the manger is the safe part of the story. That's why everybody's probably pretty comfortable with that. That's not a big deal. That's not going to hurt you too much. But this is about the God-man who changed all of history. And even those who don't believe in him, deal with it whenever they tell you what the date is. It's based on when Jesus was born. That this is way beyond the baby in the manger. This is the teacher, redeemer, who died on the cross. The one who rose again victoriously, the one who conquered death and then ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And that brings me to the second point. And this point is extremely important. He is coming back. He is coming back. And we definitely, maybe we don't do too well preparing for celebrating his birth, but we definitely better be prepared for his return. Now, don't forget, there's going to be a loud trumpet blast this morning. I don't want anybody to be surprised. Christmas is really easy to celebrate since we know what to celebrate and when. But the return of the baby in the manger as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, How do we prepare for that? I mean, we don't have our traditions. We can't say, well, let's put up the tree. Maybe he's coming back today. Oh, let's put some extra lights on the house. Let's decorate that pine tree in the front yard. How do we prepare? This is a lot harder. And Jesus tells us in this morning's passage, the one that Paul's read around the Advent candle and now we're looking at again, is no one knows the day or the hour. No one knows the day or the hour. But he will return. You all probably played games when you were kids, the game of hide and seek, right? One person had to hide their eyes and you all went hiding someplace and then they had to come looking for you. And what did they say? They had to count to 100 and then, ready or not? This isn't a game. But the word is truth. Are we ready or not? Are we ready or not? Because whether you want to or not, you are a player in this game. Be very careful with preachers and teachers and books who think they have this world history all figured out and they can tell you when Christ is going to return. That's dangerous stuff because the Bible itself says nobody knows that. Jesus says not even he knows it. No one but the Father. No one but the Father. And that, of course, when Jesus was saying this, you're saying, well, how come he didn't know that? That's part of his limited, his humanity when he was on earth. But the Father who is in heaven, knows exactly when the time will be. Now, don't forget, there's going to be a loud trumpet blast this morning. I don't want anybody to be surprised. And Jesus gives wise counsel in how to be prepared for his return. And for that example, he says, remember the days of Noah. And the people he was talking to, they would know that really well, the story about Noah and the flood. But you know, we do too. We know the story of Noah and the flood as found in Genesis. And Jesus says it's going to be a lot like that. I think it's safe to say it's already a lot like the days of Noah. People eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Those are the basics of life. Life was good. It was routine. Folks were just doing what folks do, living for the day. And of course, it wasn't that this was bad. We need to eat and drink to preserve life. And we certainly need to get married to have children to preserve, to perpetuate life. So what was the problem? The problem was the busyness of life. The busyness of life. The same problem we have today. The busyness of life squeezes out the important things of life. They were planting and harvesting, going to school and going to work, coming to church, sleeping, maybe not in the same time, eating, visiting with friends, family, not paying attention to the big picture. Coasting along, life is good, thinking about stuff like what? Oh, graduation, getting married, having a baby, raising a family, sporting events, finding a job, changing jobs, maybe moving, building a house, a bigger house. No, let's get a cottage. Sell the business, retire, buy a condo, spend the winters in Florida. Everyday things that make up life's routines and rhythms. See, the wickedness in Noah's day was not the everyday routine, but that they had become an end to themselves and forgotten who God was. Up to the day Noah entered the ark, they ignored Noah's warnings. They were lost in their own world. The busyness of everyday life. They rejected, they ignored, they overlooked, they tuned out, they disregarded God and his warnings. Don't forget, there's going to be a trumpet blast this morning. It's really loud. I don't want anybody to be surprised. This is how it'll be again with the second coming of God. And I just want to add one other example, and that's what we read too this morning in Matthew. It's verses 40 and 41, and they're kind of interesting verses. It says, two men in the field, two women at the handmill. And you know, that just symbolizes ordinary people doing ordinary things. Regular people with traditional jobs. Equality for men and women. People in the grocery store, people pumping gas. In the workplace, the beauty shop. Looking at new cars, picking up grandkids. People driving trucks, providing care for others. Doctor's appointments. Going to funerals. It's never about what we are doing. It's about how prepared are we for what is important. And what does it say? One is taken, the other's left. Therefore, keep watch. Let me say it this way. If that was for real, we would be all done. There would be no end to this sermon. Don't worry about the roast. Don't worry about your Christmas shopping. Time would be no more. And we would have stepped into eternity. The Bible says it'll be unexpected, with plenty of warnings. But we are busy. Therefore, keep awake. Be ready. One, to celebrate Jesus' birth. But more importantly, to be ready for His return. Father, we come to You. Your warnings are all over the place, over and over and over. And You are patient, and You are long-suffering. And we thank You for how kindly You deal with us. And we thank You for the Word, even this morning, as we found that in Matthew 24, first the Advent reading, and now the message. And would You impress on our hearts how critical this is? So that when we sing, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. That is a real reality in our hearts. That we have that full assurance. That because You are the Savior and the Lord of our lives, we are secure in Your grip forevermore. Thank You again for giving us these warnings. You're not leaving us unprepared. Thank You that You did everything to make it possible for us to spend eternity with You. Teach us how to celebrate that with great joy as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.